appreciate everything that's already taken place throughout this day, and the things that we don't see, the things we may not know about, but yet God knows all about it. Is there a word or testimony, anything on anyone's heart before we try to speak today? Anything at all?
I just want to thank the Lord for saving my soul, being with me, letting me know that I do have salvation.
Amen.
I feel it in my heart. Feeling with me throughout the week. I want to thank you for that.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Parker, we appreciate these words. Anything else on anyone's heart? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible says, this is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And I'm glad we can do that. This week, I've been praying about what we would speak on today, and the Lord just kept bringing to my mind day. That's all. Just day. D-A-Y. And then I get to hear, and in our bulletin it says, enjoy this day, compliments of God. Right in our bulletin. Did you notice that? And then Brother Jimmy leads us in a song that I don't know if he heard me humming or singing it back there in the bathroom this morning, but what a day that will be. And I got to thinking about, what does the Lord really want me to convey to this congregation of people today? You know, a lot of people, they'll say, well, how's your week going? They'll usually ask me on Sunday, and I think to myself, well, it's going pretty good. A lot of people think that Sunday's the last day of the week, but you know it's the first day? It's the first day of the week. And usually it'll set the tone for the rest of the week. But I got to thinking about, what is a day? What is a day? How many times is it in the Bible? According to the computer, it's in the Bible 2,282 times, the word day. Did you know that? 2,282 times. That's 2,282 sermons. Would you like me to start right now? If so, I'll start with the very first time it's used in the Bible, and that's in Genesis chapter 1. Did you know that? A lot of people, they don't understand what God is conveying in that word day, the first time He uses it. Do you know that? It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the first verse of the Bible. Everybody usually knows that one, right? Second verse says this, the earth was without void, without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That light wasn't the sun, it wasn't the stars, it wasn't the moon, because that hadn't been created yet. So what is God trying to convey to us by saying, let there be light? I come to the conclusion that what the word light there means, and it is backed up by the rest of the scriptures, that it's talking about knowledge. It's talking about knowledge. Knowledge of creation. God has shed light on the fact that He is the creator of all things. Let's look a little bit closer. Because you see, God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light, here we go, capital day. Capital D-A-Y, He said it's day. And then He says, and darkness He called night. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So if the evening and the morning were the first day, what God set in motion was the fact that day would consist of 24 hours. 24 hours. That's all we have. This morning when I got up, actually at 12 o'clock last night, because that's the way time is, I think, said. But from 12 to 12, and it used to be in the biblical times, it'd be 6 to 6, you say. But what has changed is the fact that we have a 24-hour cycle. So if I titled this message today, it would be "This Day." This day for that day. This day, today, Sunday, July the 10th, it's a blessed day because it is a day that God has allowed us to be here together to worship Him. And I thank you, and I know that God is appreciative that you chose today to come here today, Sunday. Now, what are we going to choose tomorrow? Do you know tomorrow doesn't exist? Tomorrow only exists if God allows another evening and another morning. If He allows another day, all we have is right now. And so, when I think about this, when I think about this day for that day, and how that we have Sunday, we have Monday, we have Tuesday, we have Wednesday, we have Thursday, we have Friday, and we have Saturday. Now, we've seen a lot of those days, and I've seen them for the past 53 years. I didn't know many of them were passing, but evidently they did, because it brought me here today. It brought you here today. Why are you here today? You ever thought about that? Why am I here today? Why are you here today? A lot of people are getting up and they're not even recognized. They're just passing through time. They're not even taking any thought about what God has allowed us today. And yet many have gotten up day after day after day and never really recognize that God is the one that gave us this day, this 24-hour period. I guess the longer I live, the more I take notice of, am I really living this day the way that God has intended for me to live it? Some of you may be saying, well, I want to. But let me get right to the heart of the matter. The title of this message says, "This Day for That Day." There is coming that day. The song that we sung today, "What a Day That Will Be," is talking about that day. Did you know that? It's not talking about this day, but you have to live this day in order to experience that day. I don't know where your day was. My day was June 28, 1981. That was a very blessed day for me. It's the most blessed day that I've ever existed on this planet. Because you see, on that day, it prepared me for that day. Everybody's going to have that day. Maybe you're going to think to yourself, well, I'm going to have that day in the future. In a sense, we are going to have that day. But from a biblical standpoint, I want you to understand what it's talking about, that day. For you see, a new day is coming. Did you know the Bible talks about that? Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. And I will try to explain, with God's help, I'm trying to explain what He's laid upon my heart. And I'm not here to judge anybody here today. I want to live this day. I want to live this day in a way that it honors God. But I also want everybody to understand that all we have is right now. We don't have a promise that we're going to live another 5 minutes. But listen, please listen to what I have to say today, because God has impressed it upon my heart. It says in the 10th verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, it says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law.
You say, what's that got to do with the name? Listen just a little closer. He said, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep. It's time to wake up. Maybe this message is for me, that I might wake up. And, you know, we talk about this quite often, but sometimes we just need to wake up and smell the roses. Have you ever heard that expression? And I'm not talking about just any rose. I'm talking about the rose of Sharon. I'm talking about that one that has a lovely fragrance. And then when we take full advantage of the opportunity that God's afforded to us this day and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the way that He wants to be worshipped, you know what that is? It's a sweet smelling savor to God. But listen to what He says here. He says, knowing the time that now is the... It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Day by day, I don't know, but day by day we're getting closer to that day. Every one of us that are here, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is every day we are getting closer. We're getting closer or nearer. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Sound familiar? In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, he says that God created light, He created darkness. And after He went on to say all that, then He said this, He divided them. He said the evening and the evening and the morning were the first night, or for the first day. So He says here, He says, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and in envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, if we're all honest with ourselves, many of us, that's what we've lived for every day, for our desires. And if it's not for our desires, maybe it's for the desires of someone else. And in some cases that's good, in some cases it's not so good. But many say to the Lord that day. Did you know that? Many will say to the Lord that day. And you know what? Jesus has a response to that. He says in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, we're going to find it written here. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We're right along with the Sunday school lesson today. He said, many will say to me in that day. Did you see that? Many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I say unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Many are going to come, and they're going to say, and we're talking about many people that are going to be gathered from all nations and every tongue of the entire world in that day. That day that's coming. How ironic it is that we sang the next time He comes. For you see, the next time He comes, we will be in that day. Let me say this, whether or not, we're going to be in that day. And I'm ready. Are you? You see, you need to make real sure that, as we said in Romans, 13. Let me go back there and pick that up, and then we're going to talk just a little bit more about that day. This day, today, is going to affect that day. Did you know that? Everything that takes place from this pulpit, everything that takes place from this sanctuary, it is this day going to affect in some way that day to come. It's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What's it saying? I'm going to tell you, many of us, we've gone through this life day after day after day is far spent, and today we are closer than we were yesterday to eternity. That day. Now, I'm not here to say you're saved and you're not. That's not for me to judge. What I am here to tell all of us today is we need to be ready, because we're all going to face God at that day, and many are going to come and they're going to say, well, I went to that faith church every day of my life, or I went to this church or that church. I'm going to tell you, I did this, I did that. I'm going to tell you, Jesus says, and there's going to be many that's going to come at that day, and they're going to give me all of those things that they did, but one thing they failed to do. I'm going to make it real easy. Get saved. My salvation, your salvation, it is drawing to an end. And every day that we come to you, you say, and what do you mean it's drawing to an end? I'm telling you, our life is drawing to an end, but yet our salvation is becoming more real, more clear, day by day, because we are getting closer to that day, is what I'm trying to say. What will we say at that day? What can you say at that day? When is that day coming? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to just try to convey what Paul shared to church at Thessalonica. And in each one of these, it's going to be talking about that day. Remember what the title of the message is. This day for that day. But at the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourself know perfectly, for the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. This day we recognize, and many people, they come to church to worship God, and they come to church for this reason, for that reason. Why was the very first time, and think about this, the very first time that you went to church that day, why did you go, or did you even remember that you went? What was the purpose of that day? In those days, when I'd be taken in, a lot of times if I didn't behave, I'd get my ear pulled. I can remember my mama, she'd try to clean me up. And I don't know how it was with you, but a lot of times she'd clean me up by taking spit on her hand and wiping my cheek. You ever had a spit bath? I've had a bunch of them. I've seen my wife do that a time or two when the kids grown up. I don't know how that it helped anything, but I remember those days. I remember those days when I went to church and I really didn't want to go to church. It seems like every time I went to church, I got in trouble. So why would you want to go to church if you're going to get in trouble? Especially the first day of the week. But you know what? I got in trouble the other days too, so it really didn't matter. But then there was that one day that I went, and I remember that the preacher started preaching to me. He really had to change his message, and I had to change my message. And this message today is a message, evidently it's been preached at least 2,282 times. Even the word day, it's been It's being presented today to get people prepared for that day. Why do we come to church? Why did you come to church? Some people say, well, you had to come to church because you're the pastor. Who made me the pastor? Some people say, well, you chose a good work. I chose the work because God placed me in the work. We talked about love today. And I really appreciate Brother Parker's analogy about luck. It's just not your lucky day to be here. And forgive me, because this week, for whatever reason, our grandson, he's living there at the house, and just to get to watch him grow and watch him and how he reacts and how he does things. He's only not even 2 years old, but you know what? I got up one day this week and went in there, and you know what he was eating? He was eating Lucky Charms. You know, even when they're just 2 years old, we're teaching them about luck, and he's eating Lucky Charms. And you know what? He felt so lucky. You know why he felt so lucky? You know why? Because you know what he likes about Lucky Charms? He likes eating the marshmallows out of them. You see? You say, what's that got to do with anything? What I am trying to say is that we're living in a time and a season that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Isaiah, he's innocent. He doesn't know anything about what we're talking about, and yet he's learning every day. One day at a time. Some people say, well, I've let all these days go past, and I'm not ready for that day. Will I ever get ready for that day? That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to mean this from the bottom of my heart, what the Bible teaches, and I'll stand on the Word of God. As long as you got breath in you, as long as you got right mind, as long as you've got a desire to get to know God for that day, you can know God today. This day for that day. And I'm not angry about that. I'm passionate about that. I firmly believe that God will, as that none perish, but He's given you opportunity after opportunity. How many more opportunities will He give you? I don't know. But I do know this, that God is dealing with my heart today to convey to every one of us that we need to take this day, this opportunity, this privilege to get prepared for that day. Preacher, I'm already saved. That's my point. Just don't rest upon that. Why has God left you here today? Why has He left me here today? And I'll tell you, it's to honor and glorify Jesus Christ, but it's also to continue the message of that no matter how many days are left, how we still need to stand on the promises of God. And the promises of God is that He'll save anybody that will repent of their sins and turn to God. And when He saves you on that day, He's not ever going to do that again. He's only going to do it one time. Why? Because God does it right.
But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, you're not in darkness. If you're not in darkness, you've come to the knowledge of the fact that God is real and that He lives within your heart. And how did He do that? He put His light in you. You see how it all works together? Paul says that you're not in darkness anymore. You've come to the light. And because you've come to the light, he says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the light nor of darkness. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Today,
For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed him just to wrath, but to obtain salvation by Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even so also as you do. And that day comes. What's going to be the purpose of it? What is going to be the true purpose of that day? Have you ever thought about that? It's going to glory Christ. It's all about Christ's glory. And in the next chapter, in the second epistle of this Thessalonian letter, the Apostle Paul wrote this in verse 6. He said, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Verse 10. "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed." Do you like those words there? In that day. One more place. Then I'll close. We that are saved, don't let the events of this week shake you up. I read in a devotion a few weeks ago, and I haven't tried this, but if you Google what's the main concern of people in the world today, there's three main concerns. You know what those three are? You know what they are? I wasn't surprised, but they're not a concern to me. One is climate change. Did you know that? Out of all the people in the world, they're concerned and worried about climate change. Climate's going to change, all right. I believe in climate change. It's going to change in that day, right before everybody's eyes. It's going to change. Another very concern is government control. Worried about what government is in control of this and what government is in control of that. Let me tell you, I just trust the Lord. I mean, He's got it all under control. Doesn't matter what government's in so-called control, because it really doesn't matter. What matters is getting ready for that day. Today. Because tomorrow may never come. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, we also read from the 7th chapter, but you know what? He said a lot of people are concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. He said, don't take no thought for your stature, what you look like, how you look, and all these other things. And he says, all those will come if they do. If they don't, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Get that right. Today. Get that right today. I don't remember what the third thing was. I think it was terrorism. Yeah, that's what it was. Are you concerned with terrorism? That's the three main concerns of people today. Not just Christian people, just people in general. If you Google that, that's maybe somebody can clarify that, but that's what it said. And I thought to myself, how shallow people really are. All they got to do is go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That day He did. Or did He? The Bible says that He worked, or so He spoke it into existence, all the creation, in 6 days, right? What did He do on the seventh day? He rested. He rested. So don't let them shake you down. Don't let them shake you up. Don't let them shake you around. Why do you say that, Brother Ron? Look at Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, that means I'm begging you, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Isn't that what we came together for today? We came together for His glory and honor. He said that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. He said, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Are we falling away? Is the United States of America falling away? Is terrorism just going rampant all over the world? And they say, well, it's not really terrorism. And, you know, somebody just starts shooting people up and down. That's not really terrorism. What is it? What is all this going on? Today you're going to hear that the Bible says it's going to happen. It is happening. But don't be shaken up. Don't be shaken down. Don't be shaken around from church. We ought to be happy. He's fulfilling His promises. Just be thankful that you know Him. And if you don't, please, I beg you, get to know Him. Because this day is coming. He said, except there become a fall away, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, setting himself in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but he's not. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now, you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy all with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, while all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. That's pretty clear. What a promise. Don't be delusioned by all the things that Satan is doing. Satan's behind it all. He is. But in that day, God's rising up. Some people say, and the Bible says, that as the sun shines from the east even into the west,
comes up the next day, that's a day, right? But Jesus Himself said, as the sun shines from the east even into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming back in that day. So today, this day for that day, I'll give it up. I'll give this day up for that day. It's an honor to be here today. It's an honor, as Brother Don said this morning, to be able to get up in the morning and just to be thankful to live another day. To be able to come and worship with you today. What a day this is. But the day that's coming, what a day that will be. Where there'll be no more parting, there'll be no more troubles, no more sorrows, no more concerns about this world. But if you're not ready, and I don't know anyone's heart, but I really felt in my heart I need to come and share these things. I don't know that I've ever really preached about this subject in this way. But Mr. Armstrong last week that I'll be praying for you, and every day this week I've been praying for you. I think I'd be doing him a disservice and God a disservice if I didn't honor that, what I told him I would do. And so I took that advantage today. I'll take it tomorrow and I'll do it until I hear that you have taken that day to get through and pray through. And I thank you. I'm so grateful that you're still coming, and I want you to keep coming. But I want you to have that day. That day where God makes it so clear to you that you're not in darkness anymore. That you've come to the light. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Satan is throwing everything at you. He throws everything at me. Evidently, he throws things at Sister Cindy. He throws things at my wife. He throws things at you. And he's not going to leave us alone until that day. But I also wrote down three things in my Sunday school book today. And I want to share that, and then I'll close. And that's something that God revealed to me. And that is, God is He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's also omnipresent. That means He's everywhere at the same time. You know what else is everywhere at the same time? Never really thought about it to this day. That's sin. It's always present. It's going to be always present every day until that day. But you know, there is one that has limited access. A lot of people think that He's omnipresent, but He's not. That's one I read about just a moment ago. The wicked one. He's not omnipresent. You know, if we'll take this day and worship Jesus Christ and just put Him first, and did you know that in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says if we'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us, and you know who has to flee? Satan himself. This is a day that God has given us to get ready for this day. We've got Thursday set aside to have revival. What are we going to do between Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to get ready for Thursday? And today, sometime today, I hope that you'll take what no space is left and what action you can do today is what do you want to see
Maybe you ought to do this today and come back Wednesday and share it. But what today would you like to see happen during this revival? What would you like to see? You!
There's two or three things I'd love to see and love to hear. I told the church last night, I hope I hear it today.
I hope to hear it. But those that's not been saved, get up and say, I know I'm saved. I want this church to be revived. I want it to be lifted up. I want it to be empowered.
I want it to be here when the Lord comes back. But also, I want us to take this day to reflect on all the blessings of God that He has given us up to this day. And may it come out in this revival. If God allows us to have a revival, and I want to tell you this, you can't have a revival if you don't put forth an effort. That's why it's called an effort meeting. And when we put forth just a little bit more effort, God will do great and marvelous things. And I truly hope and pray that I will take advantage of this day to help people get ready for that day. I don't know if I'm so ready for that day. I'm saying, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of things I'd like to get accomplished, like that bucket list, you know, that I'd love to see happen. And I told you I was going to close, and I am, but a couple of things happened this week.
I like to share things.
I told Rod about it, and Brother Jimmy, you get a song. I'll try to be hush after this. But one of them, there was a man that walked up to me, and I preached in revivals there, where he's a memberette many times. And he's just a construction worker driving a bulldozer himself, and he kept walking up to me, and we struck up a conversation, and there was a young man that I was seeing helping, but I didn't recognize the young man, you know, because the young man, when I saw him, last time I saw him, he was seeking the Lord on the altar at Bonaire Missionary Baptist Church. His name is Hunter. Hunter was just a little chubby boy, but you know now he's about 6'1", and he's real skinny. And I just didn't recognize him. That's a big change, you know that? And so I talked to the man, we had a good conversation, and you know how we knew it was a good conversation? Because we got to talking about a man that was our Sunday school teacher, and he was a Sunday school teacher there at Long Hair. And I said, Brother Gene Edwards is probably the best Sunday school teacher I ever had. I learned more under him. And the glory books, I looked at his arms. They come up on his arms, and they were up on my arms. He said, I was going to say the same thing. But then I went over to Hunter. Right out there on the construction site, there in Bowling Green, Kentucky, apartments, sweat. I mean, I'm breathing wet. I looked at him and I said, Hunter, did you get it worked out with the Lord? He said, you mean saved? He said, yes, Brother Ron, I've got it. Made my day. Saw another little girl, didn't recognize her. She got saved at Fairview years ago. Saw her, what, Friday night? Her name's Emily. She's the younger of two sisters. Her older sister, I couldn't remember her name. Her name's Erin. Erin just graduated from college. Emily's going to graduate from high school. I saw Emily get saved. And I saw Erin seek the Lord for over 4 years and went off to college and didn't get saved. And I said, Emily, that Erin would get saved. She said, Brother Rod, she's never come. You pray for her. You pray for all these that I come in contact with. One other person came up to me. He said, I heard you're a preacher. He was helping us. He'd just been working for the company for a couple of weeks. And he was raised by an alcoholic father that's dead. And his mother is a single. He's only a only child. And he said, I heard you as a preacher. And I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm a heathen. That's what he said. You know, I told him, I said, you're in good company. He said, what do you mean? I said, because Jesus loves heathens and publicans. He said, what's a publican? He said, "Is that one of them birds that flies over by the ocean?" I said, "No, that's a tax collector." He said, "Oh." He said, "I may slip of the tongue and say something. I don't want to offend you." I said, "You won't offend me." "No, won't offend me." He might offend the Lord that I serve. He said, "Are you one of those prosperity?" He said, "Are you one of those prosperity gospel preachers?" I said, "If that were the case, what am I doing here?" He said, "Oh, I see." Now, you see, we're going to come in contact with people like that everywhere we go. And all you have is that day to help people get prepared for that day. I hope I said something today that helped all of us to recognize that this is the only day that we have, unless the Lord gives us another one tomorrow. Brother Jimmy.
Page 360.
one day
I'll bow and raise
that offering to you by being that. That's my prayer.
Amen. Father, I've been blessed to be this morning. For the people who are persecuting my soul, can give me a day that I can look forward to in eternity.
Yeah.
You know, ever since he saved my soul, I've kind of tried to live up to being worthy of being a child of God. I struggle with that. I fail at it miserably. It's disappointing, but he loves me anyway. And I would love to get past that. I want to do everything that he deserves, but it's just not going to happen. I'm just not good enough. But I am thankful that he loves me anyway. And just really enjoy the message. It's a blessing to be here. I love this church.
Amen.
I do.
God bless this machine. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in his side. He asked the Lord to remove it 3 times. The Lord said, I believe. There are some things that just not going to happen. Things that are thorns in our flesh that he just not going to take away. But you know what he said? My grace is sufficient. Don't need anything else. As long as you got that grace, sufficient. The amazing grace of God. It's good enough for me. Don't need anything else. As long as I got that, got it covered. If you don't have that, got to get it. Get it covered. That's the truth. Anybody else? Appreciate that, Sister Shin.
Well, Fred, why don't we just show on my face? At work this week, daughter and I had a little spat because I said something ugly to her. See, if I don't constantly wash my mouth, I'll say something ugly. And it's hard to be aware of everything you say, everything in the day. And I just said something off the hip to him and it hurt him. And I went back to where I was talking to him about that. Because he's trying to learn to open up. You know, and he wanted to get kind of ugly, and I said, you know, let's open the devil have that moment. You know, we can sit here and say ugly things, but I made a mistake, and I'm sorry. And you made a mistake, and I know you're sorry. You know, a lot of times when he mentions stuff like that in front of God, he gets really angry. He doesn't want to talk about God or the devil or any of that. But he didn't get angry because he knew it. We let that moment go. We didn't give it anything it deserved. But the best thing a lot for both of us is only the good Lord working on us both. Now, is that possible? And I thank the good Lord for that. I know he is just so good, and I know he's working on my heart.
Amen.
I know he is.
the only way to go. Somebody ought to write this song, a long way to go, a short time to get there. I think you ought to be a dictionary. That's true. That's true. Anybody else?
Good news.